Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. We're in the bye week right now for the Kansas City Chiefs, and so we are going to do something different. We did not do an in-season mock draft last year, I don't believe.
Two years ago we did.
Two years ago we did.
Okay.
Because that was the one where we mocked Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs in the first round.
It's kind of a good day for buys, though. There's 32 college football teams off this week.
Yeah,
32.
It's still a pretty decent slate of games. It's just not as good as it's been the last month.
Colleges have three bye weeks now. Some teams have three bye weeks. It's crazy.
Yeah. So since the schedule's a little bit lighter, and because there really isn't a whole lot to talk about as far as the Chiefs go, because they're coming off the bye, I think now is the perfect time for us to do an in-season mock draft. And this one's going to be interesting because the Chiefs right now are listed at 17. So there's going to be a lot more options. I do not think this will hold unless some draft values shift around. But I do think it's a good litmus test for where we are.
And here's the thing, middle Chris, of the season. Here's the thing no one's talking about. So the first 3 weeks of the season used last year's draft order to settle waivers.
Right.
And then after 3 weeks, it resets weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it especially now, the Chiefs' record being 5-4 has a very favorable waiver pick.
So they're like right in the middle as far as waivers
and
go.
And a lot of the teams ahead of them already done. They're not going to make the waiver pickup. So just something that's not really talked about. The Chiefs are right there if somebody happens to
lick. Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot of waiver options out there. Juan Thornhill did get cut today. If the Chiefs were looking for some safety help, Juan Thornhill does know their system.
That's secondary. Well, Jalen Ramsey got moved from corner to safety.
Yeah.
And they said he might move him back.
He can't. I mean, look, he ain't the same Jalen Ramsey he was when he was in Jacksonville.
The pass defense for the Steelers, number 32.
They're terrible.
32.
Right now, Jalen Ramsey's most known for his tackling right now than he is for his coverage.
Corners get moved to safety. It's part of the deal. It's prolonged your career.
So, yeah, I mean, that could be an option there. So let's get our mock draft, in-season mock draft started here. Chiefs right now are listed at 17th here on PFF. So we are going to do that. The picks that they have on file for the mock right now, this will definitely not be the picks that they have during the draft. So, you know, just take that into account.
And what they do have, everybody, is a first, a second, a third, two fourths, because you got a fourth from the Tooney, and a fifth.
Did they not trade that pick? No, they still got it.
Okay. They have one, two, a three, two fours, and a five.
Okay, because I was under the impression they traded that pick.
Seventh is debatable because the Logan Wilson trade is a big Kevin Bacon mystery to the seventh round pick because of who's actually pick it is, who makes the compensation. But the DeAndre Hopkins is leaving. Should bring the Chiefs a seventh rounder.
Yeah. So we don't know all the comp picks. So again, it's an in-season mock. Take it with a grain of salt. A lot of these draft values are going to change because I've done a lot of mock drafts the last couple weeks, and the value is a little tough because, like, they have some, like, especially like the quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft that I don't think are going to enter this year. I think they're going to stay. And so I think that's going to shape some of the value that's in the
draft. Well, for example, Garrett Nussmeier, when the NFL had used the executives and scouts, right, to rate quarterbacks.
Right.
And Nussmeier was number two. Number one was Norris Sellers. Now, this year, the top three, or they when they redid this thing at the halfway point of the NFL season, none of the top three actually got votes the first time it did. Fernando Mendoza, actually the far and away leader from NFL scouts.
Right, and even he is, I think most places I've seen him, he's like outside the top five in terms of like overall.
He and Dante Moore float around the same kind of area.
Yeah, and I've seen some mocks that had like, you know, him, Dante Moore, and Ty Simpson go in top three, which I do not think will happen because I don't think any of those quarterbacks is worth a top five pick.
Well, Patrick Mahomes said that Dante Moore is his favorite college quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he's fun. He's just not a top five quarterback.
No.
He's not a first-round quarterback in my book.
He looks thin for the Chiefs, and this does matter in the draft because typically when you're sitting there where the Chiefs should be drafting, you know, you think of three, four, hopefully five quarterbacks go beforehand, but it doesn't look like that's the case this year.
I mean, you could just have other positions.
I don't
the
think
Chiefs
it's as bad as
when
Kenny Pickett was the only first-round quarterback taken. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I could see three going.
Like, I could see, I mean, I could see they make that up with wide receivers because they don't need a wide receiver in round one, so like that's a position that could go, and that could build some room for them to go get someone that they actually could really need. So, again, it's rounds one, two, three, four, five, and then three and six. So that's what we're going to go with for now. Again, this is definitely not going to be the draft order when they actually announce the picks. So do you want to go take the first pick then?
You set it up. So per tradition, I'll let you get the first pick.
Okay. So yeah, round one, pick 17.
I think we're going to agree on it though.
Let's enter the draft. We'll see because like it's been really weird when I've been doing these mocks, the players available and the grades. Let's not care about grades because the grades are going to be meh.
Well, you set it up, so I'll forego to you on this one.
So yeah, let's just draft for who we think the best players are. Don't worry about grades or anything. So no trades. So let's start the draft here. We are at pick 17 now. So top five available based on PFF's board: Jermaud McCoy, cornerback out of Tennessee, who is not playing this year because he got hurt in January, but a lot of people really like his athleticism at corner.
Cassius Howell is really interesting.
Cassius Howell is interesting, but I don't think he's a fit for the Chiefs because he's more of a speed rusher, and the Chiefs generally go with power.
Power.
But I really do. I agree with you. I like Cassius Howell. I think Cassius Howell would be a first-round pick.
A&M just changed how they get to the quarterback. They're actually getting to the quarterback this year.
Because they've been a lot smart, and they're like, hey, we don't need a 280-pound edge rusher. Let's get a 255, 260-pound edge rusher.
Curious. There's Texas Tech's got Romello Hyde there.
Romello Hyde's there, but I don't think they need Romello, because Romello Hyde he's a combo linebacker slash edge rusher. I don't think Romello Hyde is much of a fit for them because they've got Leo Chanel, and
what's his sack count now? 11.5?
Romello Hyde?
Yeah.
I want to say it was six and a half. I think it's like 6.5. Six and a half, something like that. It's not 11. Because the only person. Because I think the leader right now is David Bailey. He's got 11.5. Who's his teammate?
Oh, in Texas Tech, yeah.
David Bailey's got 11.5. Romello Hyde, I think, has 6 or 6.5.
Yeah, Texas Tech defense is nasty.
Yeah, they're really good. They're going to have probably at least three guys drafted there.
Caden Proctor's still there.
Caden Proctor's there, but
he'll be in the position.
I don't.
It's too bad because that would have been a good one.
He'd be great if they still needed a left tackle. So here's what I'm thinking. I really like Kristen Miller because that's their biggest need is defensive tackle. So I really like Kristen Miller. I really like Francis Maui-Goa, the right tackle at Miami, just because we know that that your situation that you've got with right tackle, this is probably Jawan Taylor's last year with the team. You're going to save a lot of money cutting him. And I don't know if Jalen Moore is the long-term answer at right tackle. So, and I don't think Francis Maui-Goa is going to be here at 17 when the actual draft happens. I think he's probably going to get drafted earlier.
No, Cassius has 10.5 this year.
Cassius is he's tied for second.
But he's 220 pounds.
I thought you were talking about Romello height.
I was looking at height too, but Cassius
has 10.5. Cassius is 10.5, yeah.
He's undersized, but it's that speed rush.
Yeah, like I said.
But he can create problems for quarterbacks.
So, and then the other one, and this is a luxury pick for me, is Casey Concepcion, the receiver at A&M. I really, really like what he could be, because we already know that they're going to – that I think Hollywood Brown's gone after the year. I think he's going to go somewhere else. And so Concepcion to me is really interesting because I think he's instantly your return guy, and I also think he provides you a great upside as a slot receiver. So to me, he's kind of the luxury pick. But I'm leaning towards Christian Miller, the defensive tackle for Georgia.
Yeah, McCoy too could be a top 10 pick too.
McCoy out of Tennessee. McCoy out of Tennessee. He's an interesting player too. My only thing with Jamar McCoy is the injury. Christian Miller to me is just like, look, this his pass rush win rate is 10.1% for a guy who is a mix between he plays a lot of nose, he plays a lot of B gap, a lot of three tech.
Is Caleb Banks still there?
No, he's not.
He's gone.
He would have been my pick. He went pick 12.
Okay.
So I'm leaning Christian Miller. Because again, I think defensive tackle / nose tackle really important for you. I don't think that Amar Norman Lott is a nose tackle, and I think this allows you to put Norman Lott into a more natural position, which is just pure three tech. So that's where I'm leaning towards right now. Do you have any other players you feel really strongly about in comparison to?
Defensive line and edge, as long as it's in that area. Yeah, Miller.
Because I like Quincy Rhodes Jr. too at Arkansas, but I think this might be too high for him. But I do like him a lot. He's a real, real big edge rusher, 6'6", 275. I think he'd be – and he might be a guy that actually gets picked in this spot. But this is a guy who he could play three tech. He could play over the tackle. He plays obviously, you know, off the edge there, running wide there as an edge rusher. I mean, just the size aspect of it, I can see if the Chiefs decided to go with the Quincy Rhodes Jr.
Well, that's the position I need. So I'm like, I knew you'd be in that line.
So if you don't have anybody you feel strongly about, I'm going to go Christian Miller, the defensive tackle from Georgia. Just, again, the size aspect. Again, this dude is massive. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who's 6'4", 310. I wouldn't be shocked if he put on another 10, 20 more pounds just so he could be a more effective nose at the NFL level. And, he's got a good pass rush win rate for a defensive tackle. And this is a guy that's playing up against NFL-level talent constantly when he's at Georgia. He's going against some of the best interior linemen out there. So I'm going to go Christian Miller, defensive tackle out of Georgia at round one, pick 17.
All right. Can't argue that.
Yeah.
Position need. So.
Yep. All right. So we are on to round two, pick 49. That'll be your pick. Top five players available: AJ Harris, the corner out of Penn State; Gabe Akis, the edge rusher out of Illinois; Lenore Sellers, quarterback out of South Carolina. I think there's a chance he probably comes back. And then Rod Moore, the safety out of
Michigan.
Anthony
Hill is very interesting.
Anthony Hill Jr., linebacker out of Texas. I knew you were going to be really interested in
AJ Harris, though, being corner. That's definitely has my interest as well.
AJ Harris is interesting. You got Jeremy Bernard sitting there, the receiver out of Bama. You have Chris Johnson, the corner out of San Diego State. I really like him. I think he would be a great fit for the Chiefs on the outside of corner. Let's see. Who else could be a possible option for the Chiefs? It looks like the best options there.
It's either AJ Harris to me or Bernard. I don't know if I want to go wide receiver so early.
Yeah, I don't like, to me, I like Bernard, but my thing is this. If I'm going to take a receiver now, if I'm the Chiefs, it's because I think they have a chance to be like a star.
Be honest with you, I'll probably go AJ Harris. He's 6'1", 191 okay. pounds, cornerback yep. out of Penn State. I mean, yep. he can't ever have enough good corners. So I, you know what, it might be early because they do take mid round corners, but sometimes a Trent McDuffie's pretty special in the first round.
If they,
you know,
like a guy, they'll take him. They'll take him. So AJ Harris, corner, AJ Harris. Penn State. All right,
good problems with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. So now we went with defensive tackle and Kristen Miller. We went with corner and AJ Harris. So now we are sitting here at round three, pick 81. Top five options. You have John Mateer, quarterback, Oklahoma. Zion Young, edge rusher out of Mizzou. Nicky Prongos, tackle out of Stanford. Jaden Maiava. I can't call him Jordan Maiava. Jaden Maiava, the quarterback out of USC. And Julian Neal, the corner out of Arkansas. And let's see what other options we have.
Honestly, I mean, Zion still being there. I think
Zion's
got
a
ton of potential.
It's
man.
A really, really interesting one. Let's see. So the guy I was hoping was going to be here was Eli Stowers, the tight end out of Vandy.
Yeah, I agree with on that. And Sadiq's probably gone too.
He's gone.
One of the best tight ends left.
Let's see. Tight ends. Who do we have? You have John Royer. No. Justin Jolly out of NC State? No. I don't like any of these tight
Oscar
ends.
Delp's the one I like, but he's more potential than promise.
Yeah, he's potential. He's a good athlete, but he's not very productive.
I'd go Zion Young, but that's just me.
You know, I like that pick. He's got the size that they look for, 6'5", 262. We don't know what the arm length is, but if he's 6'5", I mean, you could probably guess he's probably in that 33, 34 range. If he's shorter than 30, if he's 32, that's going to destroy his draft stock. And I don't think Zion's going to go this late. I think Zion's probably going to be late first, early second.
That's why there's real value seeing it there, to be honest.
Yeah, this is great value here. I don't think this will be possible unless he just completely falls apart.
Got 5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss at this point.
Yeah.
Like his motor.
You know what? I'm going to go Zion Young.
Are you going Zion?
Edge, Mizzou.
Yeah, we have built up that defense.
3 picks on defense, man. So just to recap, here are our picks after 3 rounds. You got Kristen Miller in the first round, the defensive tackle out of Georgia. AJ Harris, corner out of Penn State. Zion Young, edge out of Mizzou. So now we are in round 4. Pick,
keep this in mind. We probably would have gone tight end earlier in this situation. We understand the need
maybe.
For tight end, but
I mean, maybe
we didn't like the choices.
Maybe the choice, the value there wasn't quite there.
I'll tell you this much: we sure as hell want a quarterback there.
No,
I'm just saying we don't need one. But
so top 5 options now at round 4, pick 122. You have Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback from Cincy, Katron Allen, running back from Penn State. Chase Bisontis, the guard from A&M. Joe Royer, tight end from Cincy, still there. And Cade Klubnik, quarterback for Clemson. Here's the interesting thing about this part.
I'm leading Katron.
Let's look at the running backs. Because, I've done mock drafts. And I know that Justice Haynes is sitting there at 140, sitting there. His ADP is 127.
Justice Haynes is still there?
Justice, I know, and that's the reason why I know you said Katron.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd go Justice.
That's why you said Katron, because you didn't think that Justice was going to be there. And I don't think he's going to be here when they do this, when they actually do the draft.
I think he's a first rounder.
Me too. I think he's probably first, but I think most likely second.
You know what? In a true situation, because of holding to the board of where to be, I'd go Katron Allen here. Because I don't think Jess is going to be there, just to be fair.
Right. I'm just saying, though, because this is an in-season, and yeah. We both – because I wouldn't have gone Zion Young in round 3, because I don't think Zion Young's going to be there in round 3.
I want Justice, but I'll go Katron if we want to be
but
fair.
But we're just sticking to who's available.
Then I'll go Justice.
We'll stick it to who's available,
go,
not who we think is going to be
I'll go
available.
Justice.
So Justice Haynes, running back out of Michigan, going in round 4, pick 122 to the Chiefs. So now we are in round 5, pick 156. We've got defensive tackle, we got corner, we got edge, we got running back. Positions that I think we all thought, hey, they got a hit on in the draft. Tight end's the only one we haven't really hit on, but also it's a position that like the value just hasn't really
been. It's
got to
be someone that pops on the pretty much, I think, in the second round.
So I got a proposition for you. Nick Harbor, sitting there round five, pick 156.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mm-hmm. He is not productive. I mean, he's decently productive. I think he's over 400 yards right now receiving on the season.
He's big.
He's big.
He'll measure into 6'4", 6'5". He's got world-class speed. I mean, he's a track guy before.
He's probably going to be a sub. He's probably going to be, what, in the 4.3s, I think, at the combine with the football weight and whatnot.
I like Chase Brown, too. I think he's a sleeper at K-State.
But who do you think has the bigger upside?
What are the other receivers left still?
So let's just go down. We got Jaden Greathouse from Notre Dame, Nick Harbor from South Carolina, Jace Brown from K-State, Chase Roberts from BYU, Brennan Thompson. This is another one I like.
I like Kevin Coleman, too, from Missouri, because he can return, too.
Yeah. Brennan Thompson, Dane Key. I really like these receiver options.
Like Kevin Coleman.
So the two guys I'm thinking of, Nick Harbor, Brennan Thompson, those are the two guys that jump out to me the most. Because when I think about what the Chiefs are looking for, Nick Harbor is a freak. He's 6'4", and he's like about 220. So he's like, you know, about T.O. size. But the big thing for him is that he's got this athletic freakiness to him. He's someone that is, you know, you brought up world-class speed as a track star. So he transitioned from track to playing football, and it's, I think, been a tough part for him. The question that I have about Nick Harbor, how confident would you be that he's going to be able to translate into a good contributor at the NFL level? Not a star, just a good contributor.
He needs some refining.
He's a lot of refining.
The only thing with Brennan is he's shorter.
Yeah, but
he's 5'9".
Chiefs don't care about the size.
I do like Kevin Coleman, though.
Here's my thing with Brennan, man. This guy, he has the freak. He might have the fastest 40 time in this class. Like, I'm going to tell you this right now. He's going to be someone that people talk about a lot in February at the Combine, because his 40 time might be off the charts. Might be in the 4.2s. We'll see. If I had to think about who I think could contribute better in this offense, I would go Brennan Thompson. But Nick Harbor, I think, has the bigger upside. So the question is, do you want to get someone that you think could contribute?
I'm curious about his 42, because it might be.
Oh, I think it'll
really
be 4.3s. I think it'll be 4.3s.
Yeah.
I think it'll be 4.3s. I think when people see the size that he is and they see him run like somewhere in the mid 4.3s at 40 time, I think people are going to be really surprised by that.
I'm curious what his 40 time is estimated to be at.
That's kind of tough though to do, because these guys don't just run straight lines all the time. So I'm leaning Brennan Thompson. I didn't think about him before, because usually I see Nick Harbor sitting there around 5. I'm like, I got to get him. I'm leaning Brennan Thompson. You cool with that?
I'm cool with that.
Okay. Brennan Thompson, a wide receiver, Mississippi State.
He's got, 800 yards this year, something like 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's
Blake
just.
Blake Chapin's throwing the ball out there.
He can return. I mean, this is a guy that immediately steps in and can be a playmaker for your offense. So, Brennan Thompson, wide receiver at Mississippi State. So, now we're sitting here in the first of three picks in the 6th round, pick 195. Top 5 options. And this is where you start to see the quarterbacks kind of bunched together. None of these options are going to be what the Chiefs are looking for. Trinidad Chambliss, Josh Hoover, Bo Pribula, Jalen Daniels, Nico Iamaleava.
No quarterback.
No quarterbacks. As we scroll down, you got Kevin Coleman Jr. sitting there, Dane Key. Let's see. Max Llewellyn out of Iowa is an interesting option there. He's pretty big. Max Iheanacho, the right tackle out of Arizona State, I think he's an interesting option. And this is going to be the tough part, is that we don't know who is going to stay and who's going to actually enter the draft.
Yeah, Neil has screwed that up.
Yeah. Mark Fletcher Jr., the running back out of Miami, is another interesting option. Bigger back. Like, I think he could be someone that could kind of fill the role that Kareem Hunt has right now in the offense.
You know who I kind of like, but it's, again, we're going too much defense. It's Damon Wilson.
I know you out of Missouri. I knew you were going to say that.
I really like Damon Wilson a lot, and I have all year.
So you want to go Damon Wilson then? I'm cool with that.
We're loading up too much defense, in my opinion.
We're going to get Mizzou's both of Mizzou's edge rushers.
Harbor's at 6'5", 235, by the way, now. So,
okay, so he's listed, which means he'll probably be 6'4".
Did you take him? I can't remember.
No, oh, okay. Brennan Thompson.
Oh, you took Brennan. Okay.
Brennan Thompson. I think his production is more assured than Harbor. So, he's probably going to be a 4.3 guy then. Maybe even high 4.3s at 235. He's got to lose weight, unless they transition him to a tight end. Yeah. They could do that. If they transition him to a tight end, he would have to put on, 5 more pounds? And he'd be about the same size that Travis Kelce is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce's he's 6'5", 240 right now. So, yeah, he'd be basically, maybe they decide to transition him to tight end. If Nick Harbor transitions to a tight end and he can actually learn the position, he might be pretty damn good. So that's some food for thought. So, who are you kind of feeling here with this pick? Zane Durant is still available, defensive tackle out of Penn State. He's interesting. Only problem with him is
so
small.
Many quarterbacks, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why.
So many quarterbacks.
And be careful with hitting the draft button. You might actually draft one of them quarterbacks we don't need.
Honestly. Just because I've seen this guy play a lot would be, it'd probably be Damon Wilson.
Damon Wilson? Okay. We'll go with Damon Wilson, edge rusher out of Mizzou, the guy opposite of Zion Young.
We're taking the teammates.
So now we got pick 196, and I'm going to go with Max Iheanacho. Because I think that the Chiefs could really use some more options at right tackle. I want some competition for next season. And with Jalen Moore, with Esipol, and with Max Iheanacho, I think you have competition there.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Iheanacho, the right tackle out of Arizona State. So we got one more pick left, pick 212 in round six, second to last pick of the sixth round. And again, it's just a bunch of quarterbacks. That's the tough part with doing these mocks here in season, is that a lot, especially the quarterbacks. Most of these guys,
if we needed a quarterback, we'd be fine on that.
Oh yeah, no, you'd have some options if they needed especially if they needed like a backup, young developmental backup quarterback. Yeah, you'd have some good options there.
Yeah. See, this guy's like Avery Johnson here. He won't be here, but
no.
And I like a lot of these guys too, because I think do you like Zane Durant at all?
Yeah, again, he's a little undersized, but like he's someone that I think could work in the rotation for the Chiefs. He's 6'1", a little bit under 290, so he's a little bit smaller than Omar Norman Lott was in college. But if he's just rushing as a pure three tech as a rotational guy, I'm fine with that.
Let's see what Guilenberg's numbers are tied in. I'm curious does he have his numbers on there?
Where?
Tied in from Wyoming.
Why? Oh, there he is. Oh, Guilenberg.
Does he get his numbers?
It does not have. Oh yeah, you know he's got 104 yards on 11 catches.
You know he didn't have anything.
Not super productive here. Doesn't look like he's played a ton of snaps either, though. He's only got 119 snaps on the season. So not getting a ton of usage.
It's been limited. He had 30 catches last year for 400 yards.
So yeah, which is that's about normal for a tight end anyways. So
let's go ahead and get top there. There's it.
You got Jackson Arnold.
I do some Hiram Brown. There's a lot of Coots quarterbacks.
He could run the sneak for the Chiefs.
Part again, real quick. Let's see. I was going to make the decision here.
Just all quarterbacks here. You got Jermaine Matthews, the corner for Ohio State.
Zane Durant. Interesting.
Zane Durant. You want? I mean, I'm cool. Like I said, I'm cool with Zane Durant.
Durant's
I like.
Fine.
I like Zane Durant. So Zane Durant.
Yep.
One more before we do it. There's also Rashawn Benny, the defensive tackle for Michigan, 6'4", 305. Are you cool with the size of Zane Durant?
What's Durant's?
About 6'1", 287 is what he's listed at. So that's the only thing. Again,
I know they move him around at defensive tackle.
And that's the thing is he would most likely be someone like a Dana type, move around, play different spots. So you cool with Zane Durant then?
Yeah, he's undersized.
All right, Zane Durant, defensive tackle, Penn State. So that concludes the draft.
Chiefs like guys like that.
Yeah, they do. They like the versatility there, and that could work. So let's see. They gave me a D-plus for Kristen Miller, which I knew because they had him at number 30 or 31. Yeah, number 30 on their big board. A.J. Harris got an A-plus, so you got great value there. Zion Young, edge out of Mizzou, A-minus, which, again, I think that's incredible value there. Another one I think is incredible value, Justice Haynes at 122, B-. Brendan Thompson, they gave me an F for that pick, but I don't think that'll be an F when they see him play. At 156 of round 5. 195, round 6, that's a C for Damon Wilson II. At round 6, 196, Maxi Iheanacho, the right tackle for Arizona State, C-. And then round 6, pick 212, Zane Durant, defensive tackle from Penn State. Get a C for that one. So overall, we got a B for our draft, which was cool. Again, I don't think that these values will stick. I think that
the closer we get, it'll be.
I think Zion Young will probably be gone before AJ Harris would have gotten picked on ours. I also think that Justice Haynes is probably going to go in round 2 or 3. I don't think he's going to go in round 4. But yeah, Brendan Thompson, I think, is going to be a great value in round 5. I think he'll probably be there in round 5. Maybe the earliest he goes is round 4. And yeah, I think Zane Durant probably goes a little bit earlier than where he's projected.
So it's a pretty heavy defense.
But look,
that's what they kind of need.
They kind of need to do that though, because there's guys that they're going to let leave.
Oh, and by the way, your guy Brendan Thompson ran a 4.33 in high school.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm telling you, he's fast. This dude. There's a lot of people who think he could run in the 4.2s. So like, let's. This guy popped when I saw, I think it was when they played.
I like his quarterback, Blake Shapen, delivering the ball.
Yeah, I can't remember who they played early in the year, but he, to me, he was the player that popped the most on the screen. It was Arizona State. That's who it was. They played Arizona State earlier this year. I think it was like in September. And to me, the most interesting player on the field outside of Jordan Tyson was Brennan Thompson.
You get a chance to watch him against Missouri this week.
Yeah. So he's definitely going to be someone you got to watch out for. So that's our in-season mock draft. We'll definitely look to do some more once we get out of the regular season of college football. Maybe we'll do one in December. So
sounds good to me.
So let's get to our Week 10 recap here. Starting with the Friday night matchup, Northwestern took on USC. Northwestern lost that matchup to USC 38-17. Jaden Maiava, I put Jordan on the rundown. He had 299 passing yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. He's going to be one of those guys that like turns the ball over a little too much for, I think, a lot of teams' likings. But round two, round three, I think the arm talent is there. I just think he has to like learn how to like play within a system. And if he gets that coaching, I think Maiava could be a pretty decent quarterback at the NFL level. Mekhi Lemon, 161 receiving yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he also broke had a rushing out,
touchdown. Mekhi Lemon's so good, man.
By having a quarterback, it's a great combination.
Yeah, they got a lot of great chemistry there.
Yeah, Mekhi Lemon's going easy top 15.
Easy top 15, maybe top 10. I think he could be in the back half of the top 10, but easy top 15 for sure. If he were somehow available, if the Chiefs, you know, if everything went wrong and the Chiefs were in position to take him. Even if they don't need him, take him. He's that good. And then one person that jumped off the screen for me, the opposite receiver for USC, Jakobi Lane. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. Seven receptions, 74 yards and a touchdown, caught a beautiful fade route, did a great job getting in front of the corner there and just skied up and pulled it out the air. He's someone that I've seen his draft stock jump up for, so someone to look out for. Indiana took on Penn State. This was a great game, a great finish to the game. The game itself was kind of boring for most of it, but the fourth quarter was awesome. Back and forth affair. Fernando Mendoza, the Hoosiers quarterback, 218 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He also fumbled, but he did recover. They did recover it. Omar Cooper Jr. had this incredible catch in the back of the end zone for the game winner. He only had 32 receiving yards, but that touchdown was incredible. Caught in the back of the end zone, looked like his right foot was going to step out of bounds, but then he was able to get his left toe down right before and get that in there, because you only need one foot in college in order to get the touchdown there. It was an incredible play. Gus Johnson, I mean, lost his damn voice multiple times on that highlight.
He did, and here's the one thing about it. Obviously, Elijah Surratt, one of the best receivers.
Did not play.
I think did not play at all. So it's Charlie Becker, this freshman for Indiana, played special teams last year, really getting a chance with Surratt out. But, man, I was wanting to see Mendoza. I told you, I was texting, I said, let's see him when the chips are down.
Let's see him in this position when he's got to go win the game.
See what he can do, because it's a Heisman-type moment. What can he do? And he delivered. The numbers weren't eye-popping. You know, they had never won at Happy Valley, where Penn State is. They were 0-13. They only beat them twice in Bloomington. But I waited for that Mendoza play to Omar Cooper. That I really, really like Omar Cooper. Again, I like him be the running back. I like Omar Cooper, Surratt, Becker, and I like, well, he's not draftable, but I like Surratt, Cooper, and E.J. Williams to be drafted. So you're looking at Mendoza? He's got three NFL receivers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I that's the thing, though, that concerns me about Mendoza, though. Because like he didn't play well in this game.
And a draftable running back.
Yeah, Hemby's a definitely very draftable running back. The thing that concerns me about Mendoza is that to me he just looks like none of his numbers are eye-popping. He does make good throws. To me, though, this it almost feels like I don't want to say Mac Jones, because I think he's better than Mac Jones. But, like, to me, this kind of comes off as, like, average NFL starter
energy. I don't think Cignetti asking to, because they run the ball so much. They play good
defense.
Right,
but that's my problem.
It's not wide open. I think that we're a byproduct here of the quarterback situations, which he's put himself in position. Now, he's better than a lot most of the quarterbacks in the draft, but can he lead the team? And that's the question.
And that's the thing that I still have my reservations about.
Well, we saw some clutch genes against Penn State, but again, it's against a team that's lost six straight.
Yeah, they don't have a head coach right now because he's out here doing media appearances and whatnot. And the starting quarterback's hurt. They had to go with their backup because starting quarterback's done for the year. So you would think this would be a game that they would have won by more, but again, still a talented Penn State team. So I want to see, like, to me, the games that are really going to matter, college football playoff games. How does he play? Is he carried by his talent? Because I kind of felt like he was carried by his talent in this game. Because, like, you know, you brought up, like, Becker. Becker made some great catches in that game. Like,
they bailed him out.
Yeah, like, he made
on his back.
Like yeah, the one where they threw along the sidelines there on that last drive, and Becker was able to get that foot down, but it was a ball that was a little high. And same thing with the one with Omar Cooper. That one was a little high. I want to see Mendoza go out there and be surgical with his precision.
Yeah, and the dude's 6'4". E.J. Williams 6'4", too.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Taller receivers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got tall guys. Like, Surratt's, what, 6'2"?
Yeah.
Like, he makes his job a lot easy. So, Penn State, Nick Singleton, 71 yards on 10 carries, 2 touchdowns. Really efficient with the usage he's getting, but Catron Allen is still the lead back there in Penn State. Trevor Peña, your guy, had 99 yards on 6 catches. Denied Dennis Sutton. He had a clutch sack on the second-to-last drive. Zane Duran also had a sack as well. So, good showing from the defense there overall. Mizzou took on A&M. This was not a very close game at all. A&M, they put belt to ass against Mizzou 38-17.
You had a freshman quarterback starting, and he played like a freshman.
He played like a freshman, absolutely. Ahmad Hardy had a really good day, but that was really it.
Here's the thing about Hardy, man. You know, that's been the controversy. Like, after the game, Eli Drink was just talking about the use of his running backs. All right, so he's got Ahmad Hardy, fourth leading running back in the country, right? Leading running back in the SEC.
Probably the best running back in the country.
He only had, like, 3 carries in the first half.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Now, granted, one of those carries was for a huge gain.
He had 45-yard gain in the second half for a touchdown. He got over 100 yards. And so, Jamal Roberts is the hot hand. I get it right now. But you keep feeding backs, man. And I hate to use this example because nobody's Barry Sanders, but there were times that Barry'd be like negative 10 yards at halftime, right? But they kept feeding him the ball and ended up with 45.
He'd get hot.
I'm not saying this. I'm just saying you feed running.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Backs.
And especially if you got a freshman quarterback.
Yes.
You want to make it easy for him.
And I know Jamal Roberts is hot hand right now, but he's not Ahmad Hardy.
He is not Ahmad Hardy. Ahmad Hardy is the best running back in the nation. He would be the top running back in this class if he were available, like, for sure.
But it didn't seem like he used it.
No, that was weird. I agree with you. That was a little weird. Casey Concepcion had 84 yards and a touchdown for the Aggies.
Now he showed out.
Yeah, he's so good. I was telling you at the beginning of the year,
great,
man. I was
great
like,
catches.
This kid's an athlete.
I know it's four, but man, each one of them, man, is
they all matter.
His range, just catching 20, with his hands, 21 on his
yards
body.
A catch, man, and he could return kicks too. So Cassius Howell had a sack, and Will Lee III, the corner for the Aggies, he had a pass deflection as well. LSU lost 20-9 to Alabama, and Garrett Nussmeyer got benched in this game. Not a good game. 18-21 for 121 yards. So he was
second
terrible.
Most vote by NFL scouts and GMs on that ESPN poll.
Yeah, for the number one quarterback. Yes. And he's benched. He might be done at LSU. Like, let's keep it a buck. He might be done.
And the one thing, too, I know Alabama wins this game 20-9. And Ty Simpson, you know, does his deal. I'll say this about Alabama, and this is kind of off the draft. They struggle running, man. Like, they really do.
They don't really have
Jim Miller's their guy, but they do not have a back like usual. Like, no. This is what's going to hurt them down the stretch, because they're one of the worst running teams in the SEC.
And that's going to be I agree with you on that. I think that is going to be a big problem when they get to the playoff, because like, this isn't the NFL. None of these quarterbacks in college right now are doing what like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and those guys do at the NFL level. You do need the running game at the collegiate level, and if you can't run the football very well,
and that's never really, Alabama's really, problem.
Yeah, and it is now, and it's really
I like Jam Miller.
I like Jam too.
It's limited time this year.
Jam's not a great running back though, and I think he's proven that, because like when I named him as my moneymaker like a month ago, I was like, okay, this is his chance, because he's been there for forever and he's never really gotten a chance to do it, and he hasn't really done anything with it. So, yeah,
Bama, what's their numbers in the SEC? Let me look it up here. SEC, Bama at this point is, you never see this, they're third from last in rushing yards per game.
So what are they, 14th in the SEC?
Then? Yeah, they're 14th. Yeah. Oh, Missouri's number one, 232.
Well, yeah,
game.
They have the best tandem in the country. Yeah. So Ty Simpson, you brought him up, 277 yards, a touchdown and a lost fumble. Jeremy Bernard had three catches for 79 yards. LT Overton, the edge rusher for the Tide, he had a sack in this game. Georgia took on Mississippi State, 141-21. Gunnar Stockton, 264, three touchdowns. Zachariah Branch, 68 yards and a touchdown. Oscar Delp, 41 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, Oscar needed this game.
He did. Look, he's talented. He's a good athlete, just not very productive. So there's going to be a lot of questions asked to
him. And
Gunnar
Stockton, his numbers he's putting up, he's going to be drafted.
Yeah.
Pretty good, high.
I think probably second day at the highest.
He's made himself money.
Kristen Miller, the guy we took in the first round of our mock, he had a half a sack in this game. And then Brennan Thompson, the wide receiver for the Bulldogs, four catches for 92. So staying productive. Ole Miss, they shut out the Citadel 49-0. Trinidad Chambliss, 333 yards and three touchdowns. Kawan Lacey, 49 yards on 11 carries, but he had three touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, the former Zubac.
And then Suntareen Perkins, who I think is one of the more interesting defensive players in this draft. He's another one of those off-ball linebackers that rush the passer, like Micah Parsons and whatnot. He's a lot smaller. He's 6'2", 220. He had a half a sack in this game. Suntareen Perkins, though, I think he's at like six sacks on the season. He's actually been pretty productive for the Rams.
See, Lacey's going to be, again, we talk about next year's draft class with running backs. Like, he's going to be heavily talked about. We talk about Ahmad Hardy and stuff like that. But
yeah. Workhorse. He gets a lot of carries for them. Auburn, Vandy. Vandy won this game 45-38. Jeremiah Cobb for the Tigers had 115 rushing yards on 16 carries. But their receivers, Auburn's receivers went off. Cam Coleman, one of my moneymakers from like a month ago, 143 yards and a touchdown, also had a fumble. Eric Singleton Jr., 102 yards and a touchdown. So really great performance from those guys. On Vandy's sideline, I know Diego Pava went off for like almost 400 receiving,
yeah, like 377 passing, 310, 112 yards rushing. Now, he's made himself into the seventh round, probably. I mean,
yeah, he's definitely like
late six,
he's gonna be a great story day three. He's gonna be a great day.
He put up a good game, and he liked Stowers. He was using Stowers.
122 yards on 12 catches, man. Stowers is showing it. He's putting up wide receiver production right now for at tight end, which is just not something that happens. And this is the reason why I think Stowers, like we talked, you know, in the mock, he was round three. I think he might be playing himself up in the round one.
I just like the way he was lining up everywhere in this game.
Yeah, I think he might be playing himself, especially
when Poppy is staring right at him. You know where it's going.
Yeah,
I think they're roommates. Yeah, he's going to get the ball.
If they get into the playoff and he is able to have a big game in the playoff against one of these teams, I'm telling you, man, Stowers is going to be first round. The Chiefs might have to take him round one if they want him. So let's get to our moneymakers here. Guys who have been making themselves money as of late that we really like. And my first moneymaker is Ohio State linebacker Arvell Reese. I've been following this guy all season, but I wasn't quite ready to pull the trigger on him yet because I was like, is it because he's got help around him or whatnot? Right now, I saw, I think it was the Dane Brugler had him as his number one player on his draft board. 6.5 sacks on the year. Again, this is a guy who's an off-ball linebacker. He is not a pure edge rusher. Off-ball linebacker, moves around the place. 6.5 sacks. Right now, there are a lot of people having him as a first-round linebacker. Like
people are sleeping on his defense. It's the number one defense in the country.
And there's a lot of talent around him because he's also got Bo Atkinson and Kenyatta Jackson. They got a lot of talent, but right now what we're seeing on a lot of mocks, on a lot of big boards, Arvell Reese is considered by some people to be the best player in this draft. And to me, that's the ultimate version of being a moneymaker. Again, 6.5 sacks on the year as an off-ball linebacker, as a guy who also goes back and plays in coverage. I think he's like top 10 or top 20 in coverage stops on the season for a linebacker. Like he's good in coverage too. Like this is a guy that you were talking about, an Abdul Carter, Micah Parsons type of player. He's going to be really interesting, I think. I mean, you know, someone like Arvell Reese would have been real great 20 years ago when everybody was running the 3-4 defense and whatnot. But yeah, no, I think he's made himself a lot of money.
Least talked
year.
About team in the country, but they'll be pretty prevalent in your playoffs.
Oh, yeah. When he gets in the playoff, everybody be talking about Ohio State. Who's your first moneymaker?
My first moneymaker is, I waited for you. I waited, 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 because I knew what you're going to do. It's Mekhi Lemon, man.
No, you know, no, I waited for you.
Okay.
Because I always seem to take your guys.
Oh, I know, but I've been.
So I waited for you, and I knew you were going to take Mekhi Lemon.
Of course, yeah. Because dude was unreal.
I donated Mekhi Lemon to you this week.
Hey, that game was actually interesting. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Yeah,
but
I saw it. It was great.
Lincoln Riley. He gave his backup punter, he gave the 80 number to his third-string quarterback.
Yeah, he gave his punter's number to his third-string quarterback.
During the week, if you look at the roster, he's still number 7. But game day roster, he turned to 80. And this, so Northwestern said it's perfectly legal. People were crying foul about it. But the thing is, he was listening. And he didn't punt the ball because you can't have the same position and the same number. Like, you can have multiple numbers in college football but not the same position.
Yeah.
However, he never punted the football.
No, he just caught the snap and
so
just tossed
regardless,
it.
Regardless, Mekhi Lemon, 11 for 167, one touchdown. Just fantastic.
He's so good. Like, I'm going to tell you this right now. If the Chiefs did not have Rashi, because he reminds me a lot of Rashi Rice, but I think he's better at the catch point, and I think he can do more things than Rashi, even though Rashi's starting to show that this year with the fade routes and whatnot. But, like, man, he's not like a big dude either. He's like, he's listed 5'11", 190. It wouldn't shock me if he came in at like probably 5'10", maybe even like high 5'9s, based on what we know about like where these guys are listed at as far as height and weight or height goes. It wouldn't shock me if he was 5'10 or even a little bit under. But man, this guy is incredible at the catch point. He's incredible when he's got the ball in his hands. I mean, seriously, Mekhi Lemon,
you'll notice him from the word go. I mean, he's just the playmaker on that team.
Yeah, you notice,
and if you stay up late to watch West Coast football, I recommend you watch
USC. You notice
USC.
Number 6 when he's out there. So my second moneymaker is his teammate, Jacoby Lane, wide receiver. 7 catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown.
He was good.
He was real good. But the thing that I think works for him is the potential. Because he's not as productive as Mekhi Lemon. He's over 400 yards this year. So he's not as productive as Mekhi Lemon, who I think he's like almost 900 receiving yards on the year. He's top 5 in receiving yards. But the thing about him is the size-speed combo. and what you can do at the NFL level with that. As corners get bigger, as teams try to throw safer routes, he's someone I think there's a lot of value in. So that's the reason why I think he's making himself money. I've seen some people have him go as high as round two on some mocks. And I understand, because we have a guy who's 6'4", 200 with that kind of speed, yeah, that kind of vertical leap ability. I mean, he mossed a guy on a fade route in the end zone in this game against Northwestern. Yeah, I like Jacoby Lane a lot.
Watch my quarterback, man. USC, I'm telling you, man. They're fun to watch offensively.
I'm telling you, Maiava, like, watch him. He's a guy that if they can get into the playoff and he has a nice run in the playoff, don't be shocked to hear first round hype for Jaden Maiava. So, who's your second moneymaker?
It's Diego, and he put himself fifth in the Heisman odds.
He made himself what, $10?
Well, here's the thing. I'm always enamored when quarterbacks throw for at least 350 plus,
yeah,
and then turn around and run the ball for over 100 yards as well.
That's always fun to see.
So when he goes 377 and three touchdowns, and when he rushes for 112 and a touchdown, I think he made him money. In the sense of, I think he's a draftable player.
Yeah. I mean, I can see round seven.
Yeah, like Diego might get himself into New York as well with Heisman. He might. I mean, he's made money.
Maybe. Here's the thing, he's made some money. I think he is definitely made money as far as the UFL is concerned.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is, these teams that want to take a chance and throw a dart on a guy, he's going to be career backup. We know that. But.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how long he's going to, because he's, what, 5'10"?
He's shorter. He's got that ability, though.
But that's my thing, though, is like 5'10".
But he's just an athlete, man.
He's an athlete, but he ain't one of these guys that go to. But
again, 32 teams were off this weekend.
Yeah.
Anytime a quarterback, again, 350 plus runs out. That's why Byron Brown's been on my list so much.
I know. Yeah, you did it. You did it first time because
of Chambliss. Why he's been on there.
Chambliss is good, though. Chambliss is actually pretty good, though. So, no, like I said, I think he's probably a UFL guy, and he'll be a fun UFL guy. I think he'll be really fun to watch. Whoever gets him is going to be a lot of fun. Maybe he goes play in Canada, too. So let's get to our week 11 watch list. And again, like we had last week, we actually have some Friday matchups that we can watch because there's actually good ones. Clemson takes on Louisville on Friday night.
Louisville, disappointing loss.
Dude, I know, right? Yeah, very disappointing loss there. Still a lot of talent, though. They're number 15, so they're still right on the bubble there as far as getting into the playoff. You're going to watch Chris Bell for Louisville for sure. He's probably a first-round receiver.
Big-time wide receiver.
Yeah, this guy's
in our top five probably at least.
Yeah, he's a DK Metcalf type of guy. So definitely look out for him. For Clemson, I mean, they've got maybe the best edge rusher, arguably the best edge rusher, arguably the best defensive tackle, arguably the best corner. Like three guys who are going to be top three at their positions. TJ Parker edged, Peter Woods at tackle, Avion Terrell at corner. Yeah, these three guys, I think they're all going to be good at the next level.
There should be some NFL scouts at this one.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you there will be for sure, especially for those four guys we just named, yeah. And then the other matchup on Friday night, Minnesota takes on Oregon. For Oregon, you've got Dante Moore, quarterback, who I kind of feel like his draft stock's sliding a little bit. But still, a lot of people like him. Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end, could be the best tight end in college.
I think he's tight end one at this point. Eli Stowers is right behind him.
Right now with Stowers' production, man.
Kenyon Sadiq, though, man. I mean,
Sadiq's a good athlete, though. He's a really good athlete. They also have Isaiah World. They have Matayo Uyunglele, the edge rusher, who I've seen go as high as the mid-first round. There's a guy I was talking about at the beginning of the year as a potential fit for the Chiefs based on the size and whatnot. Someone to look out for sure. Bryce Botcher and then Dylan Thieneman on the at linebacker and safety respectively. Then Saturday morning, now we get some more interesting matchups here. Wisconsin, they make the trip to Indiana to face off against the Hoosiers. Fernando Mendoza, Elijah Surratt, if he does play, EJ Williams, Omar Cooper, their
Roman Hemby, the running back.
Yeah. South Carolina takes on A&M, and Lenore Sellers, Nick Harbor for South Carolina. We'll see if Sellers goes.
Nick's been used a little bit more.
A little bit more. He's starting to usually get his 3-4 receptions a game or whatever. For A&M, I mean, Concepcion, probably a first-round receiver at this point. Cassius Howell, first-round edge. Will Lee's probably going to be a second-day corner. Notre Dame takes on Pitt. You've got Jeremiah Love, maybe the top running back in this class, and then Bobakar Traore, the edge rusher for the Fighting Irish. And then in the afternoon, you've got a top 15 matchup. You got Oklahoma taking on Alabama. This was a really good matchup last year when they played in Norman. But this year it's going to be taking place in Tuscaloosa. You've got John Mateer, who's still playing terribly with that broken hand. You got wide receiver duo for the Sooners in Satania and Burks. And you got R. Mason Thomas, whose draft stock is starting to jump up now as an edge rusher.
It's a good wide receiver watch on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a really
good
one. And
Ryan Williams, but
especially
he's not
you go to the other
yet.
Side. You got Ty Simpson, but you also have Jeremy Bernard, the top, the second. He's actually he's been the best receiver for the Tide this year, even though Ryan Williams is more talented than him.
But
Jeremy Bernard,
year.
I think, has been better than him this year. And then you've got Caden Proctor, maybe the most athletic player in this draft class, the left tackle for them. LT Overton, who's been really productive as an edge rusher for the Tide. And then Deontay Lawson, who I have seen a lot of people talk about as like one of the best linebackers in this league, maybe a second round pick is where I've seen a lot of people have him at. So they got a lot of talent there for Bama. So that should be, I mean, that's probably your best matchup this week by far.
Deontay, he had some injury issues though.
Yeah. I do know that you, and that's one of the things a lot of these teams, you know, have to worry about with the draft process is injuries and whatnot. And that could hit his draft stock a little bit, but the talent
pops off.
It was
a torn ACL he had.
Yeah. Like the talent pops off on tape, and I'm sure that teams will do their medicals and make sure he's good to go. But yeah, he's super talented. UCF takes on number 8, Texas Tech. Texas Tech, man, they got so much talent on the defense side. David Bailey, edge rusher for them, leads the nation in sacks right now at 11.5. Romello Height, who is another one of these off-ball linebackers that can rush the passer, play in coverage and whatnot. He's been good in coverage this year. He's also been very effective as an edge rusher. So Height is definitely there. And then Jacob Rodriguez, who's just kind of one of those all-around players, forces a lot of fumbles, makes plays in the run game. They got some talent at Texas Tech on their defense.
Is Lawson going to play this week? I think because the ACL happened last year. I do like Lawson too a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's definitely someone to watch.
He's been playing, but he came back from that ACL last year that he suffered against, I think it was Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But he didn't. I don't think he's rolled out for the remainder of the Crimson Tide game. It was the game against he was ruled out that was back in November 24 when he got hurt. That's when so he's had a full year to get past that.
So we'll see what happens there. Number 20 Iowa takes on number 19 USC. Jaden Maiava. I keep calling him Jordan. Jaden Maiava, the quarterback for the Trojans, and then the wide receiver duo they got with Makai Lemon and Jacoby Lane. Then we get to the primetime matchups. You got my Florida Gators taking on Ole Miss. Florida's got Trey Wilson, who, in the absence of Vernell Brown III and Dallas Wilson, has stepped up and played pretty well. Caleb Banks, defensive tackle for them, probably going to be a mid-first round pick, who I would have taken if he would have been available when we did our mock. And then edge rusher Tyreek Sapp's probably a late day two, early day three edge rusher. From Mississippi, you got Trinidad Chambliss, you got Dejon Stribling, wide receiver, and you've got Xavien Harris, defensive tackle. Then you have, I mean, you could argue this might even be the best matchup here. It's another top 15 matchup between Texas and Georgia. Texas is number 11 now, so they've started to work their way back up. Arch Manning at quarterback.
It's weird to see a number one then go completely out of the polls.
And then you work your way back up to almost top 10. Yeah, that's definitely it. But they're super talented. Like, that's the reason why I would have been a little hesitant.
Injuries, the tight end is interesting to me. He's not used as much as possible. He has a ton of talent.
He's talented. And he's one of those guys that, like, I think if he got the usage, he could definitely produce numbers. But yeah, he's not getting quite the usage there. So, but he's a super talented guy. Edge rusher Trey Moore, edge rusher Colin Simmons is another guy to watch out for Texas. He's really started to take off here the last month or so. And then Anthony Hill Jr., very, very good linebacker. You think he's the best linebacker in the country, right?
Yeah,
pure linebacker, not the hybrid. And then for Georgia, you got Gunnar Stockton, you got Zachariah Branch, you got Oscar Delp, you had Kristen Miller, the first round pick in our mock, and you got linebacker CJ Allen. And then the final matchup, UCLA takes on number one Ohio State. You've got Carnell Tate for the Buckeyes. You got Max Clair, another one of the better tight ends in this class. Kenyatta Jackson at edge. You got Bo Atkinson at edge. You've got linebacker Arvell Reese, who a lot of people think is the best player in this class. You have linebacker Sonny Styles, one of the best linebackers in this class, pure linebacker. And then finally, Caleb Downs, who's at this point looking like a top five pick, like you thought at the beginning of the year. So a good, you got two top 15 matchups here. You got like four ranked matchups?
There's four ranked matchups this weekend.
So a lot of good matchups here to watch out for, a lot of good talent to watch out for. So make sure you stay locked in and, there's going to be a lot of, it's not quite the stuffed matchup with 32 teams having buys this weekend, but still a lot of good college football to be had. If you have any thoughts about our mock draft, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at 0-60 and Bink is at 3 Guys in a Garage. So let us know what you think about it. We're going to do more mocks. Certainly,
Deontay Lawson available when I didn't pick him. I think he was.
I don't think he was.
But he's actually been playing pretty well. I'll give him some credit. He's been playing really well. He had like 9 tackles last week.
Yeah, he's a very talented linebacker.
To come off that injury.
I don't think he was available. Anthony Hill Jr. was available. You passed him up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, if you want to give us your thoughts on our mock draft, just hit us up on Twitter. Make sure you download, subscribe, tell your friends, give us 5 stars wherever you listen to us at. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week. We'll react to what happens between Chiefs Broncos next Sunday and whatever the biggest stories, the best performances in this next weekend's college football slate. We'll have it up for you. Players who made themselves money, best performances. We'll have it for you here on the Character Concerns podcast. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.